Hello, and welcome to the Personal Wealth Coach. This is a fascinating podcast. Now, do you want to know how I know that? Well, because I think it's fascinating, and so therefore it must be. I love these subjective comparisons. It's an amazing stuff that we're going to tell you this week about what happened in the market. We're also going to talk a little bit about, we're releasing a podcast on the same day that this podcast is coming out, but it was recorded 2 days earlier, and we were talking about labor stuff, and we're going to be talking about labor stuff again. Hires a lot more than we expected. A lot more new jobs being created than any economist out there has really been expecting. That's fascinating. We have a question from Inquisitor John about something that appears in the BEA's GDP report. So that's to throw some letter combinations out there to make us all feel smarter. The Bureau of Economic Analysis is the one that tells us whether or not we're in a recession. They're the ones that report the GDP numbers, and we're going to be talking about gross output and what is that. And some people think it's really important. We'll cover that a bit. So we got a lot to talk about this time around, and we'll be back on the other side of the bumper music. Welcome back to the Personal Wealth Coach with Jake and
Jeff
McClure. Together we are bald and bearded, and we are here to talk about numbers and words, and in combination, maybe even supply you with knowledge, possibly. That's a bit of a stretch. This is the Personal Wealth Coach. We are two bald men. That's our first disclosure. We have beards. The elder Baldy has a white beard. The younger Baldy has a salt and pepper beard. That's the easiest way to tell us apart in the podcast. Elder Baldy Jeff is the father of younger Baldy Jake. Most people think we are brothers when they listen. So it's a little bit of our relations. Give you a simple relativity there. We're not going to go into anything deeper than that. The Personal Wealth Coach is not bald, but it also doesn't have hair in the normal sense, but is a registered with the SEC investment advisory firm. What does that mean? It means it's registered with the SEC as a regulator to give advice on the fiduciary level. And we're the two people that do that advice. We just can't do it on a podcast because we don't know everybody that's listening. And even if we did, we don't want to share information with everybody else that's listening. So it's not investment advice, it's educational. And just because the firm's registered with the SEC isn't intended to imply that the SEC has given some great expertise or developed our minds in some fantastic way. No, they are the regulatory authority for those wishing at a larger scale to give fiduciary advice. It's very much like bragging about the DMV when showing your driver's license. It's not intended to say that you're the best driver in the world. You might need to get rated somewhere else for that. Would you like to add your famous disclosure to that?
Information we present on this informational educational podcast has been obtained from sources we deem to be reliable, but we make no warranty or guarantee as to the accuracy or completeness of that information.
We do, however, accurately and completely guarantee the inaccuracy and incompleteness of all unsaid information on this podcast. If you can plot that out and graph it and diagram those sentences, you probably have a degree in English literature or something. So what happened this week in the market?
Well, it went down almost 1%. The S&P 500 did, and the other index we follow, which is the CRSP U.S. Mid-Cap Value Index, dropped about 1.6%, which isn't bad because the S&P 500, despite being down 0.95%, actually was up from where it was in the middle of the week. And it's up 9.11% this year and almost 27% since this time last year. And as we've seen consistently, the three-year gains in the index are about the same as the one-year gain. In other words, all the gains that the index has obtained in the last 3 years, it did in the last year. So why did it drop this week? Well, primarily because there was a lot of good economic news.
Yes, good news means to doldrums in the market usually, at least in this stage. Yeah.
But they get over it quickly. This is the market will drop when there's a bunch of good economic news, and then somebody else looks at the good economic news and says, wait a minute, that means more profit for the companies that we're investing in, so maybe we should not sell but rather buy, and they generally come back in and buy at that point.
And just
and
a
that's
quick,
probably what's going to happen.
A quick update and explanation of that. When the Federal Reserve has interest rates really high and a lot of good news comes out, it sounds like, oh no, that's bad news on the inflation front. We might be getting bad inflation. We're hiring people and we have all this good news. So people get scared on the market when good news comes out, even though the good news is literally good news. And then people go, oh yeah, it's good news. And the market does what it does after that. So back to you.
Well, that's pretty much what's going on. There was some interesting analysis that came out this week that said that the consensus of the analysts who follow earnings in U.S. publicly traded corporations is that they will be up about 11.5% this year, which means that the market has not risen yet as much as earnings are likely to go up. But I wouldn't expect to see it boom through the rest of the year like it has at the beginning of the year. U.S. Treasury note continues to rise in its yield, the 10-year U.S. Treasury note. It's at 4.39%. That's the highest since November of last year, and it's gradually creeping upward. And the reason it's creeping upward is no big earth-shaking thing. It's supply and demand. There is more loan demand in the economy right now, both global and the U.S., than was expected. And as loan demand rises, interest rates go up and the value of existing bonds go down. And that's kind of the way it's headed and has been for some time. The highest yields remain the very shortest maturity, with the 2-month maturity T-bill paying an annualized rate of 5.5%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil slipped upward.
Slipped upward. It is slippery.
Slipped.
It's very slippery.
Yeah. It's at $86.71 a barrel, again, driven higher by an expanding U.S. economy. Now, Brent crude, if you follow that on the other side, which is a little different thing, jumped because somebody thinks Iran may get into it with Israel, but this doesn't seem to be having an effect on U.S. oil prices.
There's another little factor here. In the past about 6 weeks, Russia's refining capacity has been literally impacted by drones, and its refining capacity is down about 16%. That's a big number when it comes to Russia being such a big producer. There's another thing. You mentioned this, but I'm going to say it in a different way. The yield curve on U.S. Treasuries, the interest rates should be higher the longer out the loan goes and should be shorter the closer in it is. So if you do a 2-month loan, it should be at a lower rate than doing a 30-year loan. It's not the case right now. But when that happens, it's called an inverted yield curve. We've talked about that a lot over the past year and a half or 2 years, talking about how this has happened, what it means. It's flattening and slowly uninverting. The short-term yields are staying kind of flat, but the longer-term yields are coming up. And the Federal Reserve has said repeatedly that they expect to cut rates late this year, maybe early next year. So that all being said, it looks like the yield curve is uninverting. It's just taking longer than most folks thought would happen. We thought it was going to take a long time. You can go back and listen. Hold on a second. Let me pat myself out my shoulder and pat myself on the back again. We have been predicting this, and it seems to be falling along. It's really easy to predict if all we do is say exactly what the Federal Reserve did, because they've been predicting themselves quite well. Everybody else seems to be second-guessing them. All right, so we have a question from Inquisitor John. And Inquisitor John, thank you very much. He is our most faithful and loyal questioner. He started questioning us on all kinds of things going back. How many years has he been doing this now?
Questioning us. Many, many, many years.
And he has, as is tradition, sent us an email in digital format with a picture. digital picture of the paper Wall Street Journal. We have the digital Wall Street Journal. He has the paper. So he's digitizing it to us so that we can actually understand what it says. And he has a question that has to do with the Bureau of Economic Analysis release of the gross domestic product numbers. This is the number that talks about how much we grew as a country, or literally inside the borders of the country, or shrank. They're the ones that say by these growth numbers whether or not we're in a recession or not in a recession. And my email is taking forever to come up, but I can paraphrase what he said. There's an article in there where the author of the article talks about one of the pieces of data internal called gross output, which is a gross thing to talk about, I know. Gross output has a lot more to do with what is spent to create growth rather than the growth. And the article talks at length about what that means, what's going on in here. And it looks like in the article it's talking about gross output has come down. People are spending less money to create growth right now. And the author says that they have found links between this and growth into the future. Do you have something to say on the subject? I have things to say on the subject, but I think I kind of set up the groundwork for it.
Gross output, and I've looked at this before, gross output is literally gross. GDP is net. So
even though they call it gross domestic product, it's really net domestic product.
So because the GDP has things subtracted from it that the GO does not. And it's kind of like if you were looking at, and you look at a corporation, you can look at a corporation and see their revenue. And the revenue ups and downs, you could say, will tell you what's going on in the corporation. But in fact, it's their earnings that drive the train. Because the earnings have the have all the expenses subtracted from the earnings. And if expenses go up, no matter what their earnings are, no matter what their revenue is, if expenses are too high, they're not going to do well. And that's probably the biggest thing. Some economists think gross output is a good leading indicator of GDP. However, and this is a problem, it's only been around since 2014. So we really don't have a long-term measure of how well it works.
But I can give you another piece of information on this. Sometimes we spend a lot of money to create growth that never happens. A great example of that is over 1,000 companies did their initial public offering in 2021. Many of those companies have since failed. They never produced earnings. They spent a lot of money. A lot of money was spent on creating growth that never followed. So you have to take that into account. It's harder to take that into account, especially when you're looking at it quarterly, and that's when the BEA releases. So it is a very important piece of information, but by itself, it's not predictive. You have to look at the effectiveness of the money being spent. If it's an existing company that's already profitable, spending money on research and development, that's a different story than a new company who's never been profitable spending money on research and development. Both of them could fail, but one of them already has a track record of completing. In the gross output numbers, we can't tell how that money's being spent. It did go on in that article to talk about manufacturing and how it looks like we've got less money going into gross output in manufacturing. And that's something else that we have in the newsletter this week, is that the numbers in manufacturing have just moved up into the growth area. They have been shrinking since 2021. We're back to growth in manufacturing. That's a big piece of news. And you have something to add in here, too.
Well, the thing that, as I've looked at gross output a couple of times, and I think the interesting thing about it is, as we went into the recession, gross output dropped like a rock.
Yeah.
And we were having a recession. A very short recession.
Which recession? The one right at the pandemic beginning, correct?
Right. Okay. The pandemic, the big recession of the pandemic.
The one that lasted a month.
Did we actually legally have a recession after that?
The BEA called it a recession, and therefore it is. They don't necessarily have to have a definition for recession. They just said, this is one.
Well,
and you can look around, nobody on the road, nobody at work. That was, everything stopped. That is the same as moving backwards. So,
I'm saying after the pandemic. Did we have a recession?
No.
We did, right?
No.
That's my point. We didn't have one. And despite the drop of the GO was coincident with the recession in the pandemic. Now, where the guy thinks it's a great leading economic indicator when it drops at the same time as the GDP drops and we have a recession, it came back a little slower because people were a little scared of reinvesting new money at that point. And then it, because of the fact we had relatively low gross output, people were hoarding their money for a while. We have a big burst in gross output after that, which showed up last year and this year in growth in the GDP. And it's slowing back down again now. Okay, so it's a drop in gross output. But that's like saying, as you enter the highway, if you accelerate really, really hard and you're burning a lot of fuel to get there and your car is gradually accelerating and then it stabilizes and you let off on the gas, so you're burning less gross output, gasoline or electricity or whatever you're using, that doesn't mean your car is about to slow down. And again, there is some degree of correlation, but one of the problems that we encounter, and one of the reasons it's not been touted as something where we can measure the GDP, is pretty simple. We just haven't had it through enough business cycles to get a good feel for it.
That's right. We've had it for about 10 years, and that's about one full cycle. We ramped up, ramped down, and started to ramp back up again. So we don't have enough data on it. It is an important number, and I'm glad they're reporting it. Okay. So the podcast that we recorded on Wednesday, that's being released on the same day as this one, we talk about February's job numbers and how unusual it was that we created 275,000 jobs in February. That's a much higher number than was expected. And there was a lot of research done into how is it that that happened. And the bottom line is immigration. Not illegal immigration. Please hold that in your mind. Legal immigration. How is it that we created 275,000 jobs net? That includes all the fires and hires. That's the net. And yet our unemployment rate ticked up to 3.9%. And we talked about where we think the Federal Reserve says that full employment is around 4% unemployment. And we're not back up to that level yet. So they think we're overemployed at this point. So we didn't see them being too worried and cutting rates immediately. Looking at it now, we've got March numbers that have come out in the day since then, yesterday, the day between the two podcast recordings. And in March, we created a net 303,000 new jobs. Just to maintain hiring and firing and new people coming into the workforce, normally 150,000 people is just a maintenance level. So this is more than twice that. And it goes in to underline and maybe put in italics and bold that immigration is affecting our labor. And we've said this in the newsletter that the majority of that hiring was in hospitality and medicine. What does that mean? Hospitality is hotels, restaurants, and it was a lot of hiring for cleaning and maintenance jobs, very low-end jobs usually. And then flip that up to say, in the medical side of things, what's being hired? Are we hiring a lot of new nurses? No, we don't have a whole lot of new nurses to hire. New doctors? Are we hiring them in the hundreds of thousands? No. This is not the time when that would occur. Usually you have to look at non-seasonally adjusted graduation times for medical school to find a bunch of new doctors being hired. That's not in the works here. This is people that clean the hospitals, that make it presentable and safe for doctors and nurses to be working. So this is a direct statement that immigration is having a positive impact. Now, in the middle of this, we just said we had an uptick in unemployment in February. It dropped back down to 3.8%. So some other folks were hired in that group that were looking for work as well. All of that is the huge good news that caused the market to drop. Why is that good news? Because if we're hiring that many people, it means the people doing the hiring have money to pay them with. You don't generally hire people you can't pay. you do tend to lay people off if you can't pay them. And we're having a net in the other direction, more people being hired. The Wall Street Journal has done multiple articles over the past month or so on the economy is doing fantastically well, but most people think that we're doing poorly. The people that live in the United States, that work in the United States, believe that the economy is doing poorly, though when they're asked about their own finances, they say they're doing quite well. They're doing better than they have been. And this is really normal when we've just had a big uptick in inflation. All of your measurement points have to do with what things cost. And when you look and you see that eggs cost 60% more than they did 2 years ago or 3 years ago, that hasn't come down. Eggs are more expensive than they were. And when you see that tomatoes are more expensive and avocados are more expensive, and you look at the price of a house and you look at the price of a car, these are all more expensive than they were when we set our gauges in our brain. It all is more expensive. You're probably being paid a lot more today than you were 5 years ago, though, too. And the net of that has been positive for growth. It's just that when you go to the grocery store and you look at the prices and you go, man, I can afford this, but this can't be good. It's a pretty reasonable assumption to say that other people must be really feeling this. And some people deeply, truly are. Even though the economy as a whole is growing, that's on average. And the people that don't have a job today that had a job 5 years ago are feeling it a lot more than people usually have in the past when they don't have a job. So that's influencing all of this. All of it is it has to do with our attitude and how we measure things around us. And when I look at a grocery bill that's $250, when just a few years ago it was easily only $150 or $170, that's a big change. When we look at what's happened in the market, you know, you said this, year over year, the S&P 500 is up 27%. That ain't normal. Don't get used to that. But it's a statement about the earnings that have been going up and the wages that have been going up. That stock market represents the businesses of the United States, and it represents the people that are employed in the United States. So it's a really good indicator of what the economy is doing or is about to do. One of the major leading indicators is the U.S. stock market. We have never had a recession without the stock market going into a bear market in advance and not in recovery before it happens. We're not in a bear market anymore. So I don't see a recession on the horizon. All of the leading indicators, which are mentioned in that article that John put in, as they've been trending down for so long, they're trending upward again. They're not out of the immediate danger zone that they have normally predicted, but they are trending upward.
I got to think if anybody wants to do this, if you go to the St. Louis Fed, Fred, it's called, it's fred.stlouisfed.org, series GOA1. I know that sounds a little crazy, but if you look for gross output by industry, all industries, you will discover something interesting. That the graph in that article in the Wall Street Journal showed business-to-business spending coming down. However, if you look at the gross output at the Federal Reserve, at the Fred, St. Louis Fed economic site, you will discover it has not dipped. It is still rising. So thinking that we might get a recession when because gross output by industry, the gross output has declined. In fact, it didn't. It has not declined. It is still rising.
That's kind of the wrap-up for the week. On Monday, after this, we are recording this on Friday. On Monday, for some people, Monday's going to be a bit shady. Just letting you know in advance.
And there have been people who've said it's the end of the world on Monday, so we may not do another podcast.
Right. Great darkness will cover the land. The eclipse is coming, and we happen to be based right in the center of where the totality will be passing. So we're going to get to see the darkness that spreads across the planet. And we're actually quite excited about it. So we're kind of letting you know. If you would like to talk to these two bald weirdos, not on the air. Actually, we give advice on portfolio management and do the management for quite a number of people. You can contact us locally or long distance for that matter. We have voicemail available during the weekends and real live people to answer during the week. You can reach us at
254-947-1111.
Or you can, if you still have a landline, you can still call us toll free at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. I think we got one call on that line in the last year. So, but it is a statement about technology. You can also go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com or tpwc.com, where you can look at newsletters, sign up for it if you want. You can read it there. You don't have to sign up for anything. You can listen to our podcast going back a long ways. You can listen to radio programs that we did for years and years. There's a huge number of things that you can do on that webpage. You can contact us directly there. There's a contact form, or email us at jeff@tpwc.com and jake@tpwc.com. I hope you all enjoy the darkness in the middle of the day on Monday. Until next time, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.